Welcome to another podcast from the Learn IT to Teach project. Today, one of our senior project developers, John Allen, is speaking with Professor John Civil about using information technology to help teach reading.
John, where do you work and what's your professional focus there?
I work at Brock University in the Department of Applied Linguistics. Mostly, I teach courses in the TESOL Certificate Program for TESOL Ontario Accreditation and in the MA in TESOL. I hold accreditation from TESOL Ontario, both as an ESL instructor and as a teacher trainer, and I'm a member of the Registry of CLB Experts. In those programs I just mentioned, I'm particularly interested in the courses on reading and writing in the TESOL Certificate Program and the reading course for the MA program.
John, for the people who are listening that are not familiar with CLB, what is CLB?
CLB stands for Canadian Language Benchmarks.
And how can people use those benchmarks?
The Canadian Language Benchmarks are a system by which one can evaluate the difficulty level of tasks and materials in English so as to be able to gauge what materials to choose for a particular learner or group of learners.
Oh, thanks. That really clarifies it. What do you think are the key goals that reading instructors should aim for?
It seems to me that there are really three things, and you have to have all three because they rely on each other. In terms of online reading materials, the first thing is to be aware of what actually exists out there. That can be quite a task because, although some of the materials are easy to find, others may not be, and you need to make an effort or get good advice.
Okay, and what's the second thing?
The second thing you need is confidence and skill in using those resources. They are online resources, so to some extent you need to be familiar with computers and downloading and things like that. And moreover, you need to think carefully about ways in which you can integrate the materials into your actual lessons so that your lessons will be the way you want them. There's no use in just using the material. You need to use it for a purpose, of course.
Right. And what's the third point?
You need to be comfortable in modifying those existing resources, or sometimes even creating your own new ones, so as to make sure that there's a good match. When you think about modifying, it's a question of making sure that the length of the material, the difficulty level, the kind of task that's associated with the material, and such things all match your students. Just as one simple example, it's possible that a reading passage would be very manageable by your students, but that only certain kinds of activities associated with it would give them tasks that would be appropriate. So you might choose the materials as they exist in terms of the passage, but make your own exercise.
Do you believe that present-day electronic or online teaching and learning initiatives are relevant to those goals?
Oh yes, for sure I think they're relevant. Particularly in class when training teachers to become reading teachers, there's a good possibility of using materials development wikis in those courses so that students can work together as they learn how to select materials, justify the selection, adapt the materials, write additional extensions of those materials, or for that matter, even write their own materials from scratch. And the nice thing about the wiki format is that not only can the team working on a particular wiki work together, but also other people working on other wikis can see the wikis of other people, and that way everyone can benefit from everyone else. The whole idea of a collaborative learning environment where questions get sent back to other members of the class rather than always being answered by the teacher works especially well when you have these wikis going. I've been doing that for quite a number of years now, and that's definitely a big step forward.
Why is that?
Writing materials or adapting materials is really quite difficult. It's not impossible, and you can learn how to do it, but you need a good environment to learn those skills, and the wiki really helps. So there's a very good example of the way in which online resources for teacher training tie in with using online resources for in-class instruction.
That makes sense. And could you give me an example of an actual in-class teaching?
There are lots of online reading materials that are available. The materials prepared by Learn IT to Teach For link level 2, for instance, you can refer to the attached transcript to get the URL, is a very good example of excellent professionally made materials that people may well want to use exactly as is, or they may want to dip in and make selections or extensions as I've mentioned. And there's another site that people should know about. TESOL Canada has its Teacher Resource Center. Again, you can refer to the attached transcript and see the URL.
What's on that site?
The TESOL Canada Teachers Resource Center has materials that have been made by classroom teachers and have been chosen by a committee to be placed on the site, so you can be fairly confident of the quality of them. And just as with the materials at Learn IT to Teach, you know what link level or what CLB level a particular file refers to, so that you can choose with some knowledge that if you find the right level for your students, you can go back and find other materials listed at the same level, and probably you'll find that they'll be suitable as well.
So, there are at least two available options. What are the strengths of each?
The nice thing about the Learn IT to Teach materials is that they've been professionally developed with very high production values and excellent qualities, so that you get a really great piece of material there. On the other hand, the nice thing about the TESOL Canada Teacher Resource Center is that individual teachers are warmly invited to create their own materials, submit them to the committee, and have them approved. This is very satisfying because people get to develop professionally and to share their work with others. And besides, think of the time that you're applying for another job. You want to show what you can do. It's nice to be able to say, along with your CV, by the way, go to the TESOL Canada Teacher Resource Center, and you can see materials that I've created and that my colleagues have approved and that are available to anyone now.
Is there any other place where teachers can submit their own materials?
There is the Roller site, ROLLR.ca, which is developed by the same team as the Learn IT to Teach people, and once again, it's a large repository where individual teachers with good materials can submit them for evaluation and potential posting on the site. So once again, it's possible for teachers to grow professionally and share what they've done with other people.
How have e-learning opportunities influenced your teaching as an ESL teacher educator?
Well, there's one big thing here, which is that in recent years, there has been greater and greater pressure for us to be very careful about following copyright law, which of course is a very reasonable thing, although teachers are always up against the fact that ESL programs often are limited in their resources financially, so that it's difficult for them to have as many classroom sets of materials as they would like. And as a result, in order to stay within the copyright provisions, teachers are going to be developing more and more of their own materials in order to augment classroom sets of textbooks, and in this case, it means that I really need to develop the ability in my students to assess materials, extend materials, and develop materials from scratch.
What would that sort of task involve?
Maybe they're going to be working around Realia, maybe they're going to be developing their own materials, but this is a lot of work, of course, and once those materials are made, it's very good to be able to keep them. This means keeping them for yourself, of course, but it also means keeping them somewhere where others can borrow them and use them as well. You can use theirs, they can use yours.
Okay, but how does IT come in?
The nice thing about doing that sharing and storing online is that nobody can make off with the original copy and then it's lost. So as a matter of fact, just as the demand for more teacher-made materials goes up, the ability to create them, share them, and store them is increasing too because of electronic opportunities.
Is there any other way that it influences your classes?
Well, yes, for sure. Thinking back to what we were talking about earlier, the use of wikis as a device in the teacher education classroom is really important. It has the effect that I've already mentioned, which is that it allows teams to work together in a collaborative site and at the same time for different teams to visit each other's sites and learn from each other, but also the whole process of becoming accustomed to working online on a wiki, to using the different kinds of editing tools and so on, is a very good learning process because it gets people very comfortable and confident with electronic development of materials, and when they get out into the real classroom, that's what they're going to be doing all the time.
Thinking back, can you recall how you first became interested in such possibilities?
Well, that's an interesting question, because actually, the idea of the way in which technology in general could connect to teaching is something that came to my mind many years before I ever owned a laptop computer. A long time ago, when I was still working in Europe, I learned about Célestin Freinet, a very famous French educational leader whose great thing was to promote professional development through all the possible resources that were available. And Freinet was a very big promoter of technology.
What sort of resources did he have?
In his day, of course, it was things like overhead projectors, opaque projectors, movie projectors, and things like that, tape recorders, of course. But his point was always to look at the technology and figure out how you could use it to do what you wanted to do for your students in your class. In other words, he was very clear that the technology was going to be your servant and you were going to be the master.
So, it sounds like you've really never forgotten that.
That was a very great example, and Freinet was a wonderful leader. He developed a big educational movement, which still continues today, when, of course, computers are central, even though at the time Freinet had never heard of such a thing. But the point is, he established a wonderful concept of how teachers can use technology for their own purposes and be in control of the results, rather than letting the technology drive them.
Yes, that's inspiring, all right. But how do you see tying that into present-day realities?
That's a principle that really makes you think that technology is a great asset and not something to be worried about. And with that in mind, as computers came along, it became obvious that they could fit into the same model, and therefore I, for one, and no doubt many others, were encouraged to embrace them quickly. A good example of that, of course, is the kind of thing that you see on the Learn IT to Teach site or the TESOL Canada Teacher Resource Center site, where those are the kind of things that Freinet would have absolutely loved if only he'd been able to do them.
If you were to narrow all of this down to just one piece of advice for ESL reading instructors today, what would you say?
Well, that's a tough one, but here's what I'll say. I'll say, never throw anything away. The way to develop richness and flexibility in your teaching is to have the best possible bank of materials on hand. So the computer hard drive, with a good backup, of course, is the kind of thing that we can use a lot, and you can be sure that Freinet would have been delighted if he'd had access to such a thing. He had to keep everything on paper.
So how does that work?
The point is this. Sometimes you'll have some material that's just great, and you don't want to lose that. But sometimes you'll have some material that works, but not quite as well as you wanted. Well, keep it, think it over, come back to it, tweak it the way you need to, and you can get that material which was almost right to be perfectly right. But first of all, you have to keep it. And the same thing happens with materials that you develop for a particular group, and then maybe your teaching assignment changes, and really you don't teach another group that's particularly like that. Well, if you keep the material, it's there for you to adapt, adjust, extend, or whatever. But of course, first of all, you have to keep it.
Okay. And thinking back to the Canadian language benchmarks, which you mentioned at the very beginning, do they have a role to play here too?
All of this depends on having a good sense of the Canadian language benchmarks and the link guidelines so as to be able to make those adjustments and extensions for good reasons. But even before that, the basic rule is keep everything.
John, we appreciate your advice, and I'm sure that a lot of the listeners out there, especially the ones who are going to be teaching reading to new Canadians or to ESL learners across the world, will appreciate your time and advice in this area.